When did you get into town?
Thursday night. So I've been here a couple days.
Well, what all were you doing?
My father was in town for a couple days, and so he just left for the airport, and we just had lunch together, so...
Where's your father from?
Southern California.
Was he here on business?
Yeah, he was.
And, what is your status now? Are you still at Bennington?
Yeah, I'm still at Bennington. I'm at, the rest of this term, hopefully at the end of it, I'll graduate in June.
So you're a senior now?
Yeah, senior.
I imagine you achieved some notoriety on the Bennington campus with less than zero, huh?
Yeah, but I think the school itself is so small that you become, you're sort of, you have a notoriety even if you do something like this or not. I mean, I think I have notoriety in other areas also besides the fact that I wrote this, or at least some people seem to think so.
What other areas are you talking about?
No, I don't know. Just, you know, gossip and stuff like that. Actually, it doesn't really make you that more notorious, as some would think, because the school is really so small, and you more or less know everyone. And I knew everyone when I came in the fall of '82, and most of the people are still there. So it's it really hasn't changed anything. Maybe at a bigger university, I would have been maybe more noticed or something. But it's not like that at the college I'm at.
Yeah, you're telling me that your classmates are taking less than zero in stride?
Yeah, I actually am. I think they are, and which is sort of good. Which is, I think, you know how it should be. A couple of my friends there had actually read parts of it when I was working on it, and even after they knew that it was going to be published when I was rewriting it. So, if it surprised anyone, it was just because it was it did as well as it did.
Well, I think it's quite an accomplishment. When the book was published last year, you were how old?
21.
That's quite an accomplishment to create a highly praised first book at the age of 21. There have been a number of writers who have achieved some literary success very early on, such as William Styron. I think he was 25. Norman Mailer, I believe, was 24, 25, 26, right in there.
Mm.
Yes, but it is, writing is a difficult craft, and people usually have to build on experience, and yet you seem to have launched right in, and you've written a very professionally toned novel. How did this come about? Did you do a lot of writing prior to the effort to compose Less Than Zero?
Well, I've been writing more or less ever since I can remember, ever since I was at least in elementary school. Other kids were always bringing home paintings and drawings, and I was always writing some sort of, you know, little short story. So as far as I can remember, I've been writing. It's not something that just suddenly came to me when I went to college and I said, oh, well, I want to, you know, write a novel and give it a shot. I'd actually written a couple of other novels while I was in high school, one which is fairly similar to the final draft of Lesson Zero. So, I mean, I had always wanted to write. I'd always wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm. What are you studying at Bennington?
Creative writing, mostly. It's you can be a creative writing major, and what you have due at the end of your senior year is a thesis, which is usually either a novel or a compilation of short stories. Or if you're just a lit major, you also have a thesis. You have to have some sort of project. By the time you graduate, completely.
Is Less Than Zero your thesis?
No.
No?
No, it's not. I would have liked it to have been. It was actually a project that I undertook during what our school calls the non-resident term, which is a term during our winter break where we're supposed to go out into the real world and get a job. It's something that corresponds with our major. And since I was a creative writing major, I decided to take those 3 months and try to write a first draft of a novel. And that's what I did my freshman year. And it took a couple more tutorials and private meetings with teachers to finally get this finished.
No, I'm a little confused. This first draft of the novel that you wrote during this three-month period, and that wasn't Less Than Zero.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was Less Than Zero.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, during my freshman year. When we get off January and February and part of March,
uh-huh.
And during that time I wrote the first draft, and I guess it was in early winter of '83.
But that was not destined to be your thesis.
No, not at all. No, that was an independent project. You're really supposed to, they urge you to get a paying job, or at least a volunteer job. You can do an independent study, which is what this first that time I took was. It was an independent study, and that's sort of the result of it. That's where it sort of started and began.
Now, maybe you answer this question, but I'm not clear about it. What is your thesis going
well,
to be?
Well, thesis is going to be, which I'm almost completing right now, is a group of short stories, which you have to work on your senior year. Volunteer Lesson Zero couldn't be, since everyone knows it was written, 2 years ago. It has to be things you've been working on with your creative writing teacher during the past year of your senior year, so that wipes out Lesson Zero.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in where?
Southern California, in Sherman Oaks.
That's in Los Angeles?
Yeah, it's in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. The story that you tell in Lesson Zero is a relatively grim account of young people of college age in Southern California. Is this more or less accurate as to... I mean, I've lost track on how young people are acting and talking these days, I'm afraid. I remember how it was when I was that age, and it wasn't anything like like it is in Lesson Zero. But is this a relatively accurate portrayal of young people in Southern California?
Yeah, I would say it's relatively valid. I would also say that it is a novel. It is a bit of an exaggeration. It is fiction. Hopefully it's not meant to be representative of, young people throughout the United States. I guess the reason it's sort of taken that way is because there really aren't any other books coming out that are being written about this generation. So when this is the only one out, people tend to look at it as, the final statement, the representative representation of what's going on. But in terms of milieu and in terms of specifics and Los Angeles, I would argue to say that it's pretty accurate.
That's scary if it is. But these are a special type of young people. It seems to me that they're certainly upper middle class, well-to-do kids in college, and not necessarily like, say, lower class street kids. It might even be worse for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they do have money, but they might have a lot of the things that those lower class street kids might aspire to, and they might have all the trappings of wealth and glamour and status symbols and all these empty sort of emblems they have. Which I think a whole generation is hungry for. I think there is this generation out there who do tend to look at California, more specifically Los Angeles, as youth quaking and trend setting, and people tend to look at this. The new young generation is always seems to be coming out of California, and more specifically Los Angeles. So I think a lot of people are interested in that scene anyway.
What bothered me about your portrayal of these young people is their idleness, their lack of goals, their apparent heavy use of drugs. This is scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe the things you said before, the drugs, is scary. But I don't know. It's strange. The kids who've read this book and who I've heard from weren't shocked at all by the drugs. And it seems that... people older than say 25, or even 30, were really shocked by the heavy drug usage that goes on in the book. I think it's pretty hard to write about any group of young people in the United States, no matter what their social background or economic background is, and not have drugs play a part in it. I think it's pretty much impossible to grow up in the United States and not come into some sort of contact with drugs. The other things, are scary, and the book is a warning and an indictment of those sort of attitudes. But in terms of the drug usage, I thought I sort of, even in some weird way, toned it down.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Toned it down. What is it like at Bennington with regard to drugs? Are they available on campus?
Yeah, well, I think drugs are, and it shouldn't come as a shock to really anybody. Yeah, they're available, but they're available on most any campus you go to.
How do you get them? Who sells them? Other students?
Usually other students or friends of students come up. It's pretty much taken for granted, and it's not, people rarely, throw their hands up in the air with horror and go, oh my God, this person, brought marijuana or, cocaine on this campus. They've sort of, in a lot of ways, lost their appeal and their, and since they've sort of lost their appeal, they've sort of lost their significance also. They're just an almost involuntary part of a young person's social life. It's not, they've been around sort of a long time, and I think parents are a lot more, reactionary and upset about these drugs than say the kids are.
Well, I'm a member of the National Alumni Board of Ohio University, which is my alma mater. So I've been going back to the campus over the last 3 years for meetings. I was talking to some of the instructors there who told me that drug usage is not as bad now as it had been when the kids were nodding off in class. Mm-hmm. I mean, just
yeah.
And indeed, I was talking to a student last weekend when I was down on campus, and she told me that for some reason there had been a series of drug raids, and that the supply is just about out of Athens right now. You can't buy drugs for the moment. But they've always been readily available. But that struck me as I was kind of worried about that, but I realized things have changed since the 1950s when I was in college.
Yeah.
We drank 3-2 beer, or we'd get an older student who would buy some booze, and you'd go out in the country and with some warm ginger ale or warm Coke, and you sit in the back of a car and get drunk in the back of the car. So in some respects, I mean, everybody did on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so in some respects, perhaps, things aren't that much different. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to compare the two generations, but I know that there was an awful lot of getting drunk when I was going to college.
Well, I think that still goes on. In terms of the drug situation, some people, since they don't see them as much as, I mean, they're not as visible as they were, say, I don't even 3 years ago, let's say. There is still, quite a lot of it. I think the reason is that people are more, it's become more internalized experience, more personal experience. You rarely see people sitting around a table now doing drugs in that sense. It's more or less, it's taken either for, we've got to work, we have to finish a paper or something, so we're going to do some drugs to help us, especially the speedy drugs that are really available right now. But then again, I'm really not an expert on it. I'm not a spokesperson on drugs. I'm just telling you more or less what I've seen at a couple of campuses and what I've heard. I'm really no expert on the subject, and what might be happening at my school might, not be happening at another one.
I presume you've had to explore drugs. I imagine every young person does today.
Yeah, right? I think it's just pretty much unavoidable.
Tell me about your parents. What do they think of your work in Less Than Zero? Were they shocked, surprised, happy, or what?
Well, I think they were pretty shocked, and I think they were more shocked because I had actually gotten a book published than anything, the contents. I think they were really shocked that I think they were just realizing that I was I really wanted to be a writer, and this sort of validated it. They weren't shocked by the contents at all, because the parents in the book are really not representative of my parents at all, and not that I'm trying to protect them or anything, just that it's just a fact. My parents just don't even resemble these parents at all, so they weren't shocked by it.
Your parents are not divorced.
My parents are separated,
They are separated.
Yeah, they are separated.
As the parents in Less Than Zero.
Yeah, who are divorced, separated,
Uh-huh. Do they now, they obviously now, do they not take serious, prior to Less Than Zero, your aspirations to become a writer?
Well, I don't know. I think parents just might think that, Mom, I want to be a dancer, or I want to be a fireman, or I want to be you know, a film director or something like that. Parents tend to think, oh, well, this is just, you know, a passing fantasy in a way. And after a while, they'll, you know, realize that it's not that easy to, you know, become, you know, something like that that you really want to be. So I think they were shocked that I had actually said, listen, I want to be a writer, and then this happened. And I was shocked as hell also, so I'm in the same boat.
Well, did Dad put his arm around you and say, Brett, you know, it's a lot easier being a fireman?
No, he didn't.
No, he wouldn't if he's sending you to Bennington.
No, I guess not. Yeah, that's true.
I think the school has the reputation of having the highest tuition in the country.
Yes, yeah, the most expensive school in the universe, some people call it. Yeah, it does. Right.
There's another young writer. Oh, gosh, what's his name? He writes for The New Yorker. He's published two books, and he's just out of Bennington a couple of years.
Oh, really?
I'll check it for you.
All right.
He's written two books, and I've interviewed him.
Mm.
And he's a staff writer for The New Yorker, which doesn't mean too much. It doesn't mean too much being a staff writer at The New Yorker, but, you know, it's not like having a staff job. What it means is you offer The New Yorker first crack at your stuff. What's going to happen to you in June?
I'm going back to Los Angeles for a little while, for the summer, and I guess recuperate from graduation. And I probably will be moving to New York, back east, in the fall.
And what happens?
I don't know what happens. I can't plan that far in advance. Yeah. I don't know.
But it will be, an attempt to write, obviously.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm in the midst, in fact, of writing a second novel that's pretty much a little bit more than halfway completed. And
what about this thesis, this book of short stories? Any chance that might be published?
I don't know. Some of them I'm not so enamored of. Who knows? Maybe. I really haven't given it any serious thought.
Who are some of the people you'd like to read?
I like to read a lot of, influences change a lot for me. For instance, in high school, I was reading a lot of Hemingway, and he was a big influence. So were a lot of contemporary writers, especially writers that were writing about California. People like Joan Didion, who was I think, an undeniable influence. And then even older writers like Raymond Chandler and Nathaniel West. And then lately, I've been reading a lot of just contemporary fiction by people I really like Don DeLillo and Robert Stone and Anne Beattie. I read most everything. I really don't have a specific, time frame or, certain countries' authors that I like to read a lot. I just read more or less whatever comes my way.
Why have you decided to stay in the East after graduation or return to the East?
I don't know, because I sort of want to give New York a shot. I want to see what it's like to live here for, longer than, 2 weeks at a friend's house. I don't know, see what the city is about or something.
Something you have to do.
Yeah.
Ishmael Reed did that. I talked to him a week or two ago. He came down from Buffalo and said, oh, man, this is, he walked into a place down in the village that has no name, and I saw hundreds of book jackets on the wall of writers who were there, and he said, "Well, I want to be a writer, and this is the place you can write because there are writers here." Which turned out not to be the fact. Indeed, he's lives in Berkeley, California now.
Yeah.
But he gave New York a shot. Updike did that too. He came down after graduating from Harvard, and he got a job on the New Yorker, and he was here for quite a while. It was expensive for him, and eventually went back to Massachusetts. But he comes down here. Here every few weeks.
Yeah, writers seem to have the sort of romanticized notion of the city as,
He says a nice thing about coming to New York. Sometimes he lives in a rural area outside of Boston, but he says coming to New York, he can see a story on almost every sidewalk. There's so many little dramas that occur that if you're out in the country, you miss.
Yeah.
There's certainly quiet, and there's a placid atmosphere out in the country, but sometimes you miss or lose track of what's actually happening in terms of people relating to one another. One writer named Lee Smith was up in New York staying at the apartment of Roy Blunt, and his apartment is at 96th and Broadway, not far from my own, and she was looking out of the window and saw a man stalking another man. And she was fascinated. She was out on the balcony, and she was watching this stalking procedure as they were going around the block. And she absolutely fascinated. Every time she looked out the window, she saw a story there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. If you're a writer, you tend to, I think, find stories anywhere, and it just might not be a city. I mean, it might be on a, you know, rural Vermont campus. It might be, on some side street in some small town.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if you have a writer sort of sensibility or temperament, you can, I think, invent, you know, a story more place, I mean, more or less any place.
You'll find it. There's no question about that.
Definitely.
Vonnegut, although told me he was running out of ideas. He was living in Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
And so he packed it in and came to New York and is living in a brownstone on the east side. And he likes it. He says he prefers to hear the fire engines and the garbage trucks than crickets.
Yeah, I'm just going to give it a shot for at least a year and see if I can survive it. I'm interested to see how it'll turn out.
Well, I did enjoy reading Less Than Zero. I enjoyed it to a great degree for the sociology involved and to find out what people a lot younger than myself are doing and thinking these days. I appreciate you taking the time to come in and chat with me on this Saturday, and I wish you the best of luck with the paperback edition.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.